Welcome back. In this lesson, we're making one of those classic jungle and old-school DnB moves that still absolutely slaps today, slicing a subsign into a playable bass instrument, while keeping CPU load ridiculously low. The big idea here is simple. Instead of leaving your sub as a live synth patch eating resources every time it plays, we're going to print it to audio, slice it, and turn it into a sample-based bass tool that gives you a more human, more ripped from a record feel, and it's way easier on the system. Perfect if you want weight, movement, and that played chopped up vibe under your breaks. So first, build the cleanest subsign possible. Open operator on a new MIDI track, and keep it stripped right back. Use only oscillator A, set it to sign, and switch off anything you don't need. You want this source to be stable and clean before you do any fancy processing. For the amp envelope, keep the attack short, just enough to avoid clicks, with a decay that gives the note shape. If you want a little old-school bloom, add a tiny pitch envelope, but keep it subtle. We're talking just enough movement to make the sub feel alive, not a cartoon drop. Write a simple one or two bar phrase around the root note of your track. At DnB tempos, especially around 170 BPM, the bass line works best when it's intentional and sparse. Think of the sub like punctuation. It doesn't need to speak constantly. It just needs to hit hard in the right places. Now, before we resample, let's give the sign just enough harmonic content to survive slicing. Put a saturator after operator. A few dB of drive is usually enough. Keep soft clip on, and compensate the output so you're not fooled by volume. If you want a darker edge, roar can also work, but keep it controlled. The goal is not distortion for its own sake. The goal is translation. A pure sign can disappear once it gets chopped up, especially in a busy drum mix. So we want a little extra body in the low mids. Then add EQ8. Usually you don't want to boost the low end here. If there's any junk below your keynote, high pass very gently around 20 or 30 Hz. If the sub feels too invisible, a small wide boost somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz can help it read on smaller speakers. Be careful though, we want harmonics, not a fake mid-range bass pretending to be a sub. Keep the whole thing mono. Use utility, set the width to zero and make sure the signal stays centered. That's important. Once the low end starts wandering around stereo, the whole groove gets weaker and less focused. Now we're ready to print. Create a new audio track and set it to record from your source track, or use resampling if you want to capture the whole controlled chain. Arm the track, solo the source, and record a clean 1-4 bar phrase. If you're aiming for an authentic jungle feel, don't overfill it. Leave spaces. Let the notes breathe. A lot of those classic bass phrases feel huge precisely because they answer the drums instead of constantly talking over them. A useful pro move here is to print two versions, one dry and one slightly dirtier. The dry print is your safe, reliable version. The dirtier one is great for breakdowns, switch-ups, or moments where you want more attitude. Once it's recorded, open the clip and clean it up before slicing. Trim off silence at the start so the attacks line up properly. Check for clicks, and fade them if needed. Make sure the note lengths are consistent. If the phrase is messy, consolidate or re-record it. This step matters more than people think. Slicing works best when the source already has clear shape and articulation. A good printed phrase slices into an instrument. A sloppy one slices into mush. If the levels vary too much from note to note, fix that before moving on. You can use clip gain or utility and print another pass if needed. The more consistent the phrase, the more playable the slices will be later. Now for the fun part. Right-click the audio clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. For slicing mode, transient slicing is usually the best choice if your phrase has clear note starts. That gives you the most sampled, chopped, old-school feel. If the phrase is more grid-based and deliberate, you can also slice by 1/8 or 1/16 for tighter rhythmic control. But for jungle-style bass, transient slicing usually hits the sweet spot. Ableton will build a drum rack with your slices mapped across pads. Go through them and clean up anything tiny or useless. Rename the rack if you're working fast. If the slice points aren't quite landing on the note attacks, adjust them manually. You want the front edge of each slice to stay punchy. At this stage, a really smart move is to make two racks, one from the clean print, one from the dirtier print. That way you can use the clean rack for the main groove and bring in the dirtier rack only when you want extra aggression or variation. Now inspect the slices inside the drum rack. Each pad is basically a miniature sample instrument, usually using simpler under the hood. For low-end slices, You want them to behave more like tight one shots than long overlapping bass notes. Set playback so the slices are controlled and clean. Classic mode is a good place to start. Trigger or one-shot behavior depends on how you want the notes to feel, but the main thing is to stop tails from smearing into the next hit unless that's a deliberate effect. Inside the pad chains, use only what you actually need. A little EQ8 if a slice has extra rumble. Utility for mono control. A bit of saturator on selected pads if they need more presence. Maybe a compressor if one slice jumps out too hard. But don't overbuild every pad. That kills the CPU advantage. The whole point here is to let the rack behave like a drum machine, not like 20 tiny synth racks fighting for space. Think in zones if that helps. Keep the low notes clean and solid. Let the mid notes have a bit more harmonic weight. Use the accent slices for movement, fills, or call and response moments. That structure makes programming faster and keeps the low end under control. Now let's write the actual bass line. At 170 BPM, the relationship between bass and break is everything. Program a one or two bar phrase that locks to the kick and snare, but also leaves space for the drums to breathe. A strong old school style pattern might hold the root note early in the bar, and serve with a couple of short slices before the snare, then leave a hole so the snare can land cleanly. After that, bring the bass back in with a little movement or a descending turn. If you're in a minor key, use the root as your anchor and add darker tension notes around it. You don't need a huge harmonic movement. In jungle and roller styles, repetition is powerful. The trick is to vary the phrasing just enough that it feels alive. Use velocity and note choice to create dynamic movement. If different pads trigger different character, lean into that. Even if the pitch stays simple, the texture can evolve. Shorter notes usually help the groove feel tighter and give the drums more room. Slightly longer notes can add weight on downbeats. Just avoid excessive overlap unless you want that smeared legato kind of wobble. Once the phrase is working, group the rack into an instrument rack and map a few useful macros. Filter cutoff is a great one. Saturator drive is another. You can also map output level, delay send, or pitch slash transposition if you want quick arrangement changes. Small automation moves can do a lot here. For example, slowly open a low-pass filter over 8 bars leading into a drop, or push saturation up a little in the final 2 bars of a phrase, or send just the last slice to a delay or echo before a switch-up. The key is not to over-automate. In DNB, bass movement should support the drums, not compete with them. A tiny change in drive or cutoff can feel messy when the break is already moving. If the low end needs tightening, put the bass bus through drum bus or a gentle glue compressor. Keep it subtle. You're not trying to crush the life out of it. If you sidechain from the kick, use only enough reduction to make room. A fast attack and moderate release can help, but don't make it pump unless that's the effect you want. And always check mono. The sub should stay centered, stable, and strong. If you've added any extra motion, keep that above the actual sub band. The foundation should stay solid. Now think like an arranger, not just a loop writer. In the intro, tease one or two slices with filtering or effects, but don't give away the full low end too early. In the build, bring in the rhythmic shape in a stripped-down way. Then when the drop hits, let the full sliced subline lock with the break. For switch-ups, mute the root note for a bar, or change the final couple of slices. For breakdowns, print a version with reverb or delay and use that for atmosphere. That gives you a proper DJ-friendly arrangement and makes the tune feel like a record, not just a loop. A really nice advanced variation is to use two-pass slicing. One clean rack, one dirty rack. Keep the clean one as the main groove, and use the dirty one for fills, endings, or tension moments. Another smart approach is to create a response rack that removes the lowest notes and only handles call and response phrases, so your main sub line stays uncluttered. You can also get a lot of mileage from tiny pitch moves. A one or two semitone drop on the last slice before a snare fill can create that classic dubby dread. Or resample the bass phrase again through a light effect chain, then slice that version for a darker second layer. That's a great way to make the last section feel like a new record without rebuilding everything from scratch. Here's the mindset to keep throughout this whole process. Think in printable phrases, not synth patches. The expensive part happens once, at the source. After that, the sliced rack should work like an instrument, fast and efficient. If each slice is clear, controlled, and musical, you get a bass tool that's perfect for jungle, rollers, and old-school DNB energy. For a quick practice challenge, build a 2-bar sliced sub-phrase at 170 BPM. Make it with operator, print it, slice it by transient, delete the useless slices, and program a bass line using only 4 to 6 hits per bar. Add one automation move, maybe filter or saturation, and check it in mono. Then make a darker version by resampling the rack through a little extra grit and slicing that into a separate set of pads. That's the move. Clean sub, controlled harmonics, careful resample, smart slicing, and musical arrangement. Do it right and you get a bass line that feels sampled, alive, and totally ready to sit under breaks with that proper jungle pressure.